Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
My love, my green eye love.
All right, gang, welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Nate Geary hanging out with you for another 2 hours, and we've got some Bills and Cardinals preview coverage coming your way this hour. Up next, we've got Greg Thompson. Following Greg, we've got Joe Marino, or what I would call the two worst people to trade with in Dynasty Fantasy Football. So, Greg, before I throw you completely under the bus, you're definitely not as bad as Joe is, but Joe... For instance, at the beginning of the year when I had the number one overall pick, I had said, hey guys, I'm willing to trade out of my number one pick spot. And Joe texted me, he's like, hey, I'm interested in that number one pick, but I probably wouldn't give up anything more than a third rounder. And I said, Joe, pound salt, bro. Like, that's what you're coming back. And then he tried, I just wanted to get a little trade action, and I got the whole league to trade except for me. It was BS.
It was a pretty crazy flurry last night. It was a lot of fun. And
our league was drunk.
Thank you for putting that league together. It's been a lot of fun.
It was drunk last night, and it was all led by Bruce Nolan, who literally made a shotgun shooting from the hip five trades. It was fun to listen. It's fantasy football, but at the same time, when you're with a group of guys where there's a lot of trash talking going on, it can be very fun to kind of do these types of things. But I digress. I brought you on because no one here, and Corey included, and Corey, I would call, is a fairly studious, smart fella. Nobody wants to do math on this show. He disagrees. But no one's what I would call a math guy here. You this week were talking some hashtag math, and I thought it was interesting, and I said, you know what, Greg, why don't we talk about it on the show? How do the Bills, and listen, before you and I are going to talk some Bills Cardinals, and obviously this 2020 season and the remainder of it, but I think a lot of what sticks in the back of people's minds right now is the flexibility or lack thereof that this team has in terms of cap room moving forward into next year when you have teams like the Jets, the Patriots, the Colts, who are a very competitive team. We see them beat the Titans on Thursday night with nearly 100,000 or 100 million, I should say. 100,000 would be nothing. 100 million in cap space for next season, with the Bills lingering right in towards the bottom of that list with much less cap space. So talk a little bit about the health, the flexibility that Brandon Bean is going to have moving forward. We know the trade deadline's over now, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't moves that the Bills won't be able to make or will be able to make based on, you know, kind of the flexibility that they have. So talk a little bit about kind of what you uncovered in some of your research of the Bills cap.
Sure. It's interesting because the Bills have obviously been in a position where they've had plenty of money to spend and nobody who wanted the money, or that they had to overpay or all the other things that have happened for 20 years. And now they're finally in a position where I've been begging for this problem. Give me the problem that we have too much talent to keep. That's a problem I'm ready for. And sadly, the Bills are there. They're at a point now where it's going to be tough to pull everything together. But I think because we're not used to the maneuverings and the restructuring and all the other semantics that some GMs have done for years, we've seen in New Orleans and Tampa Bay and Los Angeles and Minnesota, that teams have had to work their way around, and we always wait for, hey, you know, when are they going to have to pay their, you know, the bills for the salary cap? That's finally coming here in Buffalo, and that we're not used to that. So we're not realizing that there are options. So when it comes down to everyone's nervous, are we going to be able to keep Matt Milano and Darrell Williams and John Feliciano? And everyone's presenting it as it's this either or choice. So I wanted to dig through and figure out, is it really that simple, or are there ways you could pull things around? So I went through a series of moves that they could make. So there's basically four categories that teams use to be able to create cap space. The first is contract restructuring. That's where you hear that, high-paid veteran X has converted their base salary over to a bonus, and that kicks money down the road. Now, these aren't moves that Brandon Bean has done to this point. He's been very conservative. He likes to pay as he goes. He uses roster bonuses instead of signing bonuses. This would be a diversion from that, but they could do that with Mitch Morse, with Stephon Diggs, with Mario Addison. They can take some of that current year money, their guys that they're planning to keep on the team, and that when you pay them that money isn't all that material. They could probably create $3 or $4 million for each of those guys by kicking that can down the road, converting their large base salary in 2021 into a bonus. You then have three players that are coming up on expiring deals: Jerry Hughes, John Brown, and Micah Hyde. You can always decide ahead of time that, hey, we probably think we're going to extend them. We could do that with one extra year into 2022 and kick more of that 2021 money into the future and just backload a little bit of that to create some space for us in 2021. The other one is what you saw with either a pay cut or a release. Obviously, releasing players is an option. But you saw him do that with Star Lotulelei, with Tyler Croft, even with Patrick DeMarco, where he agreed to a pay cut and then also got released. They can do that with Tyler Matakevich, Vernon Butler, A.J. Klein, and Lee Smith are all in that bucket. With all 10 of those moves, I actually think they could come up with, I was being conservative, it could be more than this if they really pushed the envelope, with $25 million in cap space. If you give me $25 million in cap space with the $5 million that they already have, and now you have $30 million to work with, now you can re-sign all three, Matt Milano, Darrell Williams, and John Feliciano, with enough room to keep your draft picks and a couple other, the minimum guys you need. So I don't know that Brandon Bean does all of those moves, but there's more available to him than what I think many fans realize.
And, you know, I guess the question becomes, you know, what's the motivation for Brandon Bean this upcoming offseason? Is it strictly we need to maintain the roster that we have in place right now, knowing, Greg, that I think it's become obvious that Matt Milano is a pretty invaluable part to this defense. Like, I think he's obviously got a priority to try to figure out how to lock him up in a team-friendly deal that also pays the player a healthy salary but gives them the remaining flexibility they need. Because, let's face it, I mean, Josh Allen is going, if he continues playing this way, Greg, the salary cap will become a far more talked about thing if Josh Allen is in flight to make $40 million plus a year.
Oh, absolutely. And again, that's the kind of problem that you wish for. It's the conversion from the rookie scale, right, Seattle Seahawks, where you had the Legion of Boom and one of the deepest defenses in the NFL, to now the highly paid Russell Wilson Seahawks, where you're patching it together with bubblegum and duct tape, and you hope that your quarterback is the reason that you can win. So obviously that's maybe not the exact path that we want to follow, but those are good problems to have, that you have a franchise quarterback that you want to pay. I would say that Josh Allen is undoubtedly on the path of a Pro Bowl this year. If he gets a Pro Bowl, that bumps his fifth-year option from $28 million up to $32 million. And then, you know, do they take the Trey White path where they just agreed to the fifth-year option and the big extension afterwards? The Rams did that with Jared Goff. So we may be talking next spring about a $100 million-plus, maybe honestly $200 million-plus contract with Josh Allen, and I think we'd all celebrate that. We'll deal with what that price tag is when it gets there, but it's going to be $35 million plus when it happens. So, like you said, Brandon Bean's going to have to decide, does he want to keep the band together as much as possible, or do you look at a spot where it's, you know, you need to draft a replacement for one of these positions? I talked about guard, right tackle, and linebacker. I didn't even mention cornerback. So, you know, is one of those going to have to be filled in the draft? And then you get into the philosophical discussions of, well, Matt Milano is a better linebacker than Darrell Williams is a right tackle, but right tackle is more important than linebacker, and where do we spend that money? Hmm. What if they're both going to cost a big chunk of money? Those are all the kind of decisions that I'm certainly glad we have Brandon Bean, Joe Shane, Dan Morgan, and really smart people being able to determine that, because there's going to be some tough calls to be made here in the future.
No question. I'm glad you brought up Darrell Williams, because I think he's one of those unsung players right now that maybe aren't being talked about at playing at a really high level, but there's arguments to be made. He's been your most consistent offensive lineman. And there's definitely no doubt he's been your most available, has not missed a snap. Where do you, where do you expect from Darrell Williams? Is this just a... hey, you know, the Bills, I don't want to say the Bills got lucky. I think the Bills knew what they were going to potentially get if Williams could play at the potential of what they saw him play at 2 years ago in Carolina. We know that they put him in a position where they thought he could best succeed. It's clearly worked out to this point. But there are going to be players like this that come and go in organizations that you get good play out of, but you simply cannot afford to lock up long term. He does have a Quentin Spain type feel to him, though, Greg, where, you know, based on his age, based on his experience, maybe that's a guy you could get at a hometown discount based on, you know, being
selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Giving him the opportunity to start this year. I don't know how many teams would have done that if you're Darrell Williams. I don't know how many teams outside of the Bills are giving him a streamlight to start this year.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I think the contract turned out exactly how both Brandon Bean and Darrell Williams' representation wanted. He signed for 1 year, $2.25 million. That is, I made the argument when PFF put him as the all-pro right tackle at the midseason, I made the argument that for non-rookie contracts, he's the best value in the NFL right now at $2.25 million playing all-pro level right tackle. And, you know, obviously that's exactly what his agents wanted, and that's what Brandon Bean was hoping. When they brought him back, they saw him play at an all-pro right tackle level in Carolina. He's rekindled that and is playing well. He's not perfect. He's not, you know, some, you know, stalwart that you want there for 10 years forever, but he's playing really, really well. So I think when you see guys like Brian Bulaga signed for 3 years, $30 million, you saw George Fant get 4 years and $40 million from the Jets, I'm going to be hard-pressed to believe his agent doesn't think he deserves $10 million. If you're telling me that we have to choose Matt Milano for $11, $12, $13 million or Darrell Williams for $10 million, it's tough. I get it that our heart is tied to Matt Milano, and I also want to protect our franchise quarterback. So I'd love to find a way to do both, but I think Darrell Williams is going to be more expensive than what fans realize.
Greg Thompson here of Cover One, joining me on the Wester Hotline. Greg, let's talk about this Cardinals team. No Jordan Phillips, and I got the I would get the feeling that not only are fans disappointed, I would be willing to bet that some of the players, especially guys like Deion Dawkins and some guys in this offensive line, are disappointed, and not because they're looking for some sort of revenge. I think there's a genuine like between the Bills and Jordan Phillips, even though he's decided to move on, and ultimately that's a business decision. I think he is for the most part, very liked by this Bills team and the players and coaches on it, and I think it's a shame we won't get to see Jordan Phillips lining up across across the line of scrimmage for the Cardinals this Sunday.
Oh, absolutely. There would have been a lot of trash talk. You're talking about a guy like John Feliciano going up against Jordan Phillips. They would have been jawing back and forth, I think, in a very good-natured way all game. So I hope that they get to, say hi to him after the game and console him after the loss that the Cardinals take and be able to say hi. But I wouldn't have minded getting to see him play. I think that with the kind of ball that Mitch Morris and Feliciano are playing. And honestly, weird to say, the last two games of Ike Boecker have been pretty good. I think it would have been a fun matchup to be able to see getting the interior of this line back together. So I know a couple of people have brought it up. I think your next guest has brought it up on his show this week, that we might see the five intended linemen of the Buffalo Bills for the first time all year, and that we may finally get Deion Dawkins, John Feliciano, Mitch Morris, Cody Ford, and Darrell Williams all together playing all at once. And I would have loved to have seen Jordan Phillips be able to go up against that.
Greg, you know, I am excited, but also a little bit anxious about this matchup. I think for a lot of reasons. I think the main one being this is another opportunity. It's another wasted opportunity because I think this is going to be the maybe second most marquee matchup between quarterbacks you're going to see on this Bills schedule, just following up their prior matchup against Russell Wilson. The matchup between Allen and Kyler Murray, the Murray-Tagovailoa matchup last week when Tua and Kyler Murray faced off, ended up being a really good matchup between two young players. But with Tua, it's just so early on that, of course, it was exciting, but there was a lot of unknowns entering that game. There are very few unknowns entering this game with both quarterbacks. Talk a little bit about what this matchup and maybe what you're looking most forward to when watching these two players kind of match up and tee off against a pair of defenses that up until this point have struggled, except for the Bills, who are kind of coming off of a nice bounce back game last week against the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of fun. Coming into the year, you would have described this as a marquee fantasy matchup, and the two of the best fantasy quarterbacks playing each other and they also play some good quarterback as well. I'd say right now, once you get past that tier of, let's say, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers, these guys are arguably playing the best quarterback in the NFL, period. The full gamut of good decision-making, passing, running, the dynamic that they put against defensive coordinators. On most of my spots this week, I've described it as, I think, the two most fun quarterbacks in the NFL. So I'm looking forward to watching this game with two of the most entertaining players in the NFL going shot for shot. I think that both defenses are maybe a little better than that Seahawks defense last week. So I think it's not going to be quite as crazy wide open. But still not elite defenses. I think both offenses are going to put up points. So I think it's going to be really fun football to watch, and that it really is going to come down to, just like last week, who can avoid the mistakes, who can avoid the turnovers, because both of them are going to make big plays. Both of them are going to create with their legs. Both of them are going to hit some deep shots with their arm. it's who can make the fewer mistakes out of that, because the other one's going to answer if you give them an extra possession.
Greg, this is a matchup that'll feature maybe two of the most recent marquee trades in a decade, where DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs, two of the most dominant and maybe most consistent receivers in football, being traded to other teams. Maybe this is a loaded question, and maybe I'm asking you to not be biased, but I think it might be even be difficult to do that, considering when you look at these two, who would in your mind means more to their team? And again, maybe that's a loaded question, but I mean, when you look at Kyler Murray last season to this season, of course, I think he's been playing better football, but it's hard to ignore the step that Josh Allen has taken since Stephon Diggs was traded for. Who do you think in your mind, you know, it has been a bigger trade? I think both are equally have been equally big, but I think for me, Diggs has meant more to the Bills than I think Hopkins has for the Cardinals, and I wasn't exactly expecting that.
Yeah, it is funny. You start to go through, you know, which one is producing more. And, well, they're both kind of top five in just about every stat, targets, catches, yards. Which one would be there? Would there be a bigger drop-off? And that, well, you know, maybe it's the Cardinals because you have, you know, John Brown and Cole Beasley, but honestly, Christian Kirk and Larry Fitzgerald are pretty good. Neither team gets a lot of production from the tight end. It is really, really tough. I think that with what Stephon Diggs has unlocked with Josh Allen, I'm going to give him the slight edge, but I think you can make a really good argument, and obviously a slam dunk that both teams are ecstatic with the trades that they made and the value that they got back, you know, because I think a lot of people made the case in the offseason that trading for a marquee receiver, and if you go back and look at an awful lot of trades of big receivers changing teams, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. and many others, there's not great production in the first year. And then you compound that with not a regular offseason, no normal, you know, mini camps and OTAs and all the stuff that you would have been able to build chemistry. The fact that both of these guys have come out and produced at not only good levels, but career high NFL and conference leading levels is really, really impressive. I think it speaks to the work they put in with Kyler Murray and Josh Allen respectively. It speaks to their unbelievable talent, obviously, and really shows how special they are and what they've unlocked with the offenses as a whole. So I certainly don't feel bad. I like the, you know, Stephon Diggs is a little bit younger. He's a little bit cheaper. I'm happy with the guy that we got, but if we had switched spots and the Cardinals traded for Stephon Diggs and the Bills traded for DeAndre Hopkins, I'm sure we'd be just as ecstatic and lobbying that DeAndre Hopkins was the better receiver of the two as well.
Greg Thompson here of CoverOne.net. You can check him out on Twitter. He's got some decent takes there. He does some great work with Aaron Quinn for the podcast over there at Cover One Buffalo. Greg, before I let you go, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts on two final things. I'm going to talk at length with Joe Marino coming up next about Brian Daboll, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you at least one question about your thoughts about Brian Daboll this year and sort of the steps he's taken with this offense. But I think in order to talk about Brian Daboll, Greg, that we have to talk about Sean McDermott, because Brian Daboll can't be Brian Daboll without a severe and significant shift in ideology from Sean McDermott. I don't think you get an offensive coordinator in here that's throwing the ball 28 times to running it 3.5 without a full-on ideological shift from the head coach. And that, to me, it hasn't really at all been even acknowledged or talked about. So as much as I want to just have a great conversation with you about Brian Daboll, I think it's important first to note we don't have this version of Brian Daboll without major shifts in how Sean McDermott believes you can win football games. And I think that's notable and maybe one of the more interesting, you know, ideological shifts we've seen here from a coach, but really across the league.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's really, really interesting when you talk about, I think the perception that people have with what analytics is and what it means, it pretty much just comes down to, did you go for it on fourth down or do you go for two-point conversions? And I think people really miss that there's so much that goes into game planning and the pre-snap motion and the use of play action and the use of early down passing and all of those areas. If people saw how significant of a shift there has been from Sean McDermott's first 2 years to the second half of last year and this year, the Bills are now one of the most analytically inclined teams in the NFL. They are close to the most pass-happy team after last week's ridiculous, you know, I think at 1.28 passes to two runs. They are actually the most pass-happy team in the NFL on neutral game script early down plays where you have a choice of what you can do. It's not, you know, late in the game coming back in garbage time. It's not salting away a lead. It's early. It's not third and long. It's when you truly have a choice on first and second down. The Bills choose pass more than any other team in the league, right there with the Chiefs and the Seahawks. They run the most pre-snap motion with that jet motion back and forth that people get lulled to sleep with, and you don't really notice it, and then all of a sudden it's a pop pass to Isaiah McKenzie that he scores a touchdown on. They constantly are using play action. They used a ton of play action last week when they were throwing the ball
right
28 times to two, and it shows you that some of the preconceived notions of, oh, we have to establish the run in order for play action to work, you really don't. You just need to be able to trick the linebacker into taking that extra half a second to wonder, are you going to hand it off? And then you get that extra space behind them. So the fact that a guy that I think most fans would describe as a conservative, defensive-minded, play-it-close-to-the-vest head coach, and that I hear people try to throw things around about not, you know, stepping on the throat or not putting their foot on the gas, I would say that Sean McDermott has been more willing to change and more open to analytics than any other coach in the league with the amount that he's shifted and the amount that he's changed. And, you know, I'm really excited that he's let Brian Daboll do that and that he's adopted those changes and brought on. I mean, they have a full-time information systems and analytics department. And I think it's exciting to see that, and it shows the maturity and the you know, all the cliche growth mindset stuff that they throw around there. That's real with him, too, and his willingness to do that. So I'm an unabashed McDermott fan and apologist, but I think that that's a huge part that fans don't connect to him that is a huge part of the development of this team. And the success we're seeing from Josh Allen is because they're setting him up well with making good decisions in the game plan.
I would say it's as equally as interesting and surprising the shift we've seen from Pete Carroll and the shift we've seen from, you know, Brian Schottenheimer. I think it's, I would say it's maybe equally, but I think if you go back to think about the, you know, the mindset of Sean McDermott, and it's less of a surprise to see Pete Carroll go to a pass happy offense considering who the quarterback is than it is, I think, Sean McDermott. Otherwise, Greg, like, I can't genuinely think of an example of a defensive coordinator sort of changing his philosophy as severely, and maybe severely is a poor word here, but like as dramatically as we've seen Sean McDermott shift. Like I'm trying to think of a good example, and it's been very difficult. And I think it's just a testament to McDermott being comfortable and understanding that there are things that there are different ways to win football games. And his mindset coming in was, we're going to play good defense and we're going to run the football. And to change away from that, when that's the way, that's the pitch, right? Like, that was the pitch to the Pegulas for Sean McDermott coming here. Here's how I'm going to win football games. And for it to be as dramatically different as it is, you know, into year four, like, that is, it is something to me that's notable. And it's something to me that I don't think is necessarily as common as maybe people might make it out to be.
I think it's a great call, and Pete Carroll is a great parallel to draw in someone who had a very established, successful track record. All of us, by human nature, when people get promoted into new jobs and their coworkers say, oh, well, I hope they stop doing this thing that they used to do that we didn't like, you're kidding yourself. They're going to convince themselves that the reason they got promoted was because of them doing things the way that they were. That's why people get stuck in their ways. That's why people continue to, you know, stick to those same old things. That's how cliches become cliches. And the fact that someone who I think, again, most fans would say would have been stuck in their ways or would have been only willing to do those things, I think if fans realized how much and how dramatically and how materially Sean McDermott has changed from his early mindset, I think it would really open eyes to a lot of people if they connected those dots.
All right, Greg, tell the folks where they can find your work, what you got coming up this weekend with the Bills and Cardinals matchup, and you know, where they can find all the good Cover One stuff.
Absolutely. Come on over. Find me on Twitter at Greg Thompsett, GREGTOMPSETT, over at CoverOne.net on the Cover One app and on the Cover One preview and post game show twice a week. We break down the upcoming opponents each Wednesday. We do a post game live right after the game each week. So come on over, check us out, have a good time. Always going back and forth with Bills fans and trying to make fantasy trades whenever I can.
And of course we get Steve Mathis, who's like, make sure you talk about our 15-minute discussion on our fantasy traded line. I'm like, Steve, I already spent 20, so I appreciate it. So I'll be sure to talk my trash to Joe Marino coming up next, so don't worry, I won't make it you being the only one, buddy. But I appreciate you as always, the insight, the conversation, and looking forward to watching this game this weekend and getting an opportunity to, I hope, go into the bye week, and this is maybe, you know, I didn't even have a chance to really ask you this, but what would going into the bye week at 8-2 mean to you?
Oh, I mean, we haven't done it, either of us, in our adult lives.
Correct.
So,
correct.
I don't really know how it would feel, but it would be just unbelievable found money. It would be like when you walk into the casino and you win a huge chunk right off the bat, and then everything else that you do the rest of the day is just for fun because you have already got this huge chunk of money in your pocket. It would make the rest of these games and, you know, haggling for seeding and trying to figure out, just watching other scoreboard watching to see who helps us get the best position and the right matchups. We would be looking at things we haven't looked at in 25 years. So I, for one, am ready for it.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you as always. And we'll be in short touch. I'm certain of that.
Appreciate it, guys. Have fun.
All right, buddy.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.